B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. We're going to start on the second line of the Omud. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yosi ben Elisha Oimer, Imro Isa Doiro Shetzorois Rabois Bois Olov. If you see a generation where a lot of troubles are coming to it, Tzei Ubedoik B'dayone Yisrael. Go and examine the judges, the Dayonim, in Klal Yisrael. Shekol Pur'onus Shebol Oilom. Any misfortune, all misfortune that comes to the world, only comes on account of the judges of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Shim'u na zois. Hear this now, Roshei Beis Yaakov, the heads of Klal Yisrael called Beis Yaakov, Uktzinei Beis Yisrael, and the officers of the Beis Yisrael, which is Klal Yisrael. Hamasavim Mishpat, those who detest justice, Ve'is kol hayeshora ya'akeshu, and anything which is straight, they twist. Boine tzion bedomim, they build tzion, they build homes in Yerushalayim, bedomim, with blood, which means with money that they've taken in a way that they were not allowed to, money that was not coming to them from bribes and other injustice, and they used that money to buy homes in Yerushalayim, v'Yerushalayim ba'avlo, and they're buying homes in Yerushalayim with avlo, with iniquity, with things that injustice. Roisheo b'shoichad yishpoitu, her heads, do they judge for bribes? That's one thing. There's going to be three things mentioned here. Roshel b'shoichad yishpoitu, the heads they judge for bribes. V'koyaneo b'mechir yoiru, and the koyanim, the issue rulings for a fee. That means they're again taking bribes, and according to the one that pays most gets that judgment. Unavi'eho b'chesef yiksoimu, and the Nevi'im, the prophets, for a fee, they, so to speak, they say nevuah, they say prophecy, which is a lie. V'al Hashem yisha'enu, and nonetheless they rely on Hashem, and the pasuk continues, Leimor, they say, Haloi Hashem bekirbeinu, Hashem is in our midst, Loi sovoi oleinu ra, and nothing will befall on us. And the Gemara says, Roshoin hein, these leaders, the Kohanim, the Nevi'im, they're wicked people. They placed their trust in Hashem, the one that created the world, and they arrogantly assumed that no one was going to punish them, that Hashem would just let all this injustice pass. Because of the three things, the three injustices done by the leaders, by the Kohanim, and by the Nevi'im, three punishments are going to befall them. Keneged shalosh averus biyadam, corresponding to the three different averus that they did, as we mentioned. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, lochein, therefore, biglalchem, because of you, tzion sode tichorish. That's the first one, that tzion will be plowed like a field. V'Yerushalayim iyin tihiyo, and Yerushalayim will become a heap of ruins. V'har habayis lebomois yor, and the Har HaBayis, the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash was built, is going to become like a forest. Continues the Gemara. Ve'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shechinos Al Yisrael, Hashem is only going to rest His Shechina on Klal Yisrael, Ad Sheyichlu Shoftim V'Shoytrim Roim MiYisrael, only when the corrupt judges and officers are going to be removed from Klal Yisrael. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'oshivo Yodi Olayich, I will turn my hand against you, ve'etzroif kavoir sigayich, and I'm going to clean away, like with soap, I'm going to clean away all the sigayich, which means all the junk, all the garbage, ve'asira kol bedilayich, and I will remove all your tin, all the bedil, which is in silver, the impure part of it is called the bedil, ve'ashiva shiftayich kavoir shayna, I will restore your judges as in the first place, v'yatzayich kvatchila, and the advisors as in the beginning. And then the pasuk continues, achrei chein, and after that, yikore loch ir hatzedek kiryo nemono, then the city of righteousness will be called a faithful city, that after Hashem is going to return the shoftim, the judges, the rulers, are going to be kvarishoino, they're going to be straight and ruling justly, not unjustly. Omar Ullah, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta Elo Bitzdokah, Yerushalayim is only going to be redeemed through charity. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Tzion B'mishpot Tipodeh, that Yerushalayim is going to be redeemed through justice. V'shaveh B'tzdokah, and those that merit returning to her are going to merit in the merit of charity. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Papa, Ibotla Yehirei, if the arrogant, the haughty and arrogant people will be in this battle, they will disappear. Botli Amgushei, then the Amgushei will disappear. Ibotli Dayone, and if the corrupt judges disappear, Botli Gazirpate, then the Gazirpate will also disappear. And Rashi explains, who are the Yuari, who are these haughty people? They are people who have very arrogant type of hairstyles and wear clothes that are very haughty and arrogant. And the Amgushi that will disappear when the haughty people disappear, they are those people who hate us, who cause us to be hated, and we'll soon see who they are. And when the corrupt judges disappear, then the Gazirpate will disappear. These Gazirpate, they are the policemen of the Goyim, those that oppress Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara is now going to explain, I botlo yehira botla amgushi, when the arrogant disappear, the amgushi will disappear. Where's that learned from? The Chassid says in the Pasuk, v'etzreif kavoyer sigayich, the literal translation is that Hashem is going to turn away with soap all the junk, all the sigim. But what it means in this context, sigayich also is the term of haughtiness, of making big. It's the people that are haughty. When Hashem is going to wash them away, then the pasuk continues, v'osiro kol bedilayich, the bedil is the impure part of the silver. That's the literal translation. Over here, the Gemara is saying that it means bedil is from the term of lahavdil, those that make a separation, those people that separate Klal Yisrael, that those that cause the separation between the Roshoyim in Klal Yisrael and Hashem, then they are going to be removed. And that's what it says here, that when the haughty get removed, then these Amgushi are going to, which are these Roshoyim, will also get removed. Ibotlo Dayoni Botli Gazirpate. What does that mean? That when the judges disappear, then these Gazirpate are also going to disappear. Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Heisir Hashem Mishpotayich, and then Pino Oyeveich, that Hashem is going to remove your judgments, which are these judges that are the arrogant judges and the judges that are judging without justice. Then Pino Oyeveich, Hashem is going to turn away all your enemies. Continues the Gemara. Omer Reb Melai Mishum Reb Elozo Reb Shimon. Ma'idich Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Shovar Hashem Matei Roshoim Shevet Moishlim. Hashem is going to break the staff, the sticks of the wicked, and the rod of the rulers. Who are they? Says the Gemara, Shovar Hashem Matei Roshoim. Who's the stick of the Roshoim? Elu Adayonim. These are the Dayonim that instead of holding steadfast and not budging from justice, Shenasu Makil Lechazonim, they become the tools that are used by the officers, where the officers manipulate the Dayonim to do an injustice. And these Dayonim that fall for that, then the Dayonim are not more than the staff, than a stick in the hands of the Roshoim, and they will be removed. Shevet Moishlim, when it says that Hashem is going to break the Shevet Moishlim, the rod of the rulers, who are they? Elu Talmidei Chachomim Shebemishpachos HaDayonim. These are the extended family who happen to be learned people of these corrupt judges. And they are the ones that help these judges, the corrupt judges, get appointed. And when the judges make the injustice and the bad rulings, then these Talmidei Chachomim, so to speak, will try and cover up and explain those rulings. And therefore, these Talmidei Chachomim, they are not more than the Shevet Moishlim, the rod of the rulers, and they are also going to be broken. Marzutra Amar. Mazutra says, no, Elu Talmidei Chachomim Shemelamdim Hilchos Tzibur LeDayonei Bur. It's not referring to the Talmidei Chachomim that are helping the corrupt judges have their place. No, it's talking about the Talmidei Chachomim that teach to Dayonei Bur, to ignorant to ignorant judges, they're teaching them how to rule the public, the Dayone Tzibur, the Hilchos Tzibur, and then these judges, being they're ignorant, they're going to rely on the few rulings that they've been taught by these Talmidei Chachamim, and ultimately they will judge a whole load of other rulings that they have not received from these Talmidei Chachamim, and make their own assumptions, their own decisions, and will cause corruption. And therefore, these Talmidei Chachamim, they are held responsible for that. They should never have taught these unlearned judges any of these halachas, and therefore these Talmidei Chachamim are going to be broken away. Omer Belozer ben Malai Mishum Resh Lakish. Maidich Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Ki chapehem negoya lu badam, that the hands have been dirtied with blood, and their fingers have been dirtied with sin. Sif soiseichem divru sheker, your lips have spoken lies, l'shoinchem avlo tehege, and your tongue has muttered wickedness. And the Gemara is now going to explain, in the context of what we're learning now with corrupt judges, what this means. Says the Gemara, Ki kapeichem nigoyalu badam, what does it mean your hands have been dirtied with blood? Eilu hadayonim. These are the corrupt judges, where if one takes, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, if you take against the halacha even a single pruta from one person and you give it to another person, you've robbed somebody of a single pruta. It's as if you've taken away his blood. He worked hard for this money. Taking a pruta is like taking his nefesh. So these judges who are corrupt, they are dirtying their hands with blood. Who are the fingers that are dirtied with sin? These are the scribes of the courts that are writing out documents that are inaccurate. Who are the lips that have spoken lies? These are lawyers, these are people who are teaching the Balei Din, the litigants, what to say, how to say, and teaching them how to lie. L'shoinchem avlot hege, and your tongues are muttered, they muttered wickedness. Elu Balei Din, these are the litigants who have been taught by those Orchei Hadayonim, have been taught by these lawyers how to lie and corrupt the judgment. Continues the Gemara, and this Gemara is not really connected with the previous Gemara, it's just, we mentioned before a Rabbi Melai, so now we're quoting another halacha from the same person. Va'omer Rabbi Melai Mishum Rabbi Yitzchok Migdala. He said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok Migdala, Miyom Shepiresh Yosef Me'echov, from the day that Yosef was unfortunately separated from his brothers. We learn in Parashas Vayeshev that the brothers, they first put Yosef in the pit and then they sold him down to Mitzrayim. From that day on, Loi Toam Tam Yain. Yosef did not drink any wine. Dechsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, regarding Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Ulekodkoid, that he was the head Nazir Echov, which literal translation means that he was exiled, he was separated from his brothers. But the word Nazir also may refer to the customs of a Nazir, and a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Ulekodkoid Nazir Echov, he was the one that when he was separated from his brothers, he took upon himself the customs of a Nazir. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina Omar, Afheim loitoam utam yain. Not only did Yosef HaTzadik not taste any wine from when he was separated from his brothers, but so too all his brothers, they also didn't taste any wine from the day that they separated from Yosef. Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayishtu vayishkuru imoy, that they drank and became intoxicated with Yosef, and that was only much later when they came down to the palace of Yosef. Many years later, then they drank some wine, and we learn from there, Michlal, from there we see, the Ato Idna. Until that time, Loi Havashikrus, they did not drink any wine whatsoever. And the question is, Yosef HaTzadik, we understand, he didn't drink any wine from the time he was sold until he met his brothers. He knew that they were his brothers, but the brothers at that time, when they drank the wine, they did not yet know that they had re-met up with Yosef. So what allowed them to break their neder, their vow, and to drink wine, is something that's discussed here in the Mefarshim. V'idach, And Rav Malai, who said that only Yosef refrained from drinking wine, not the other brothers, what does he do with this pasuk? Shikros hudulay hava. He says that from the time they were separated from Yosef, they did not become intoxicated. But they did not refrain from drinking wine. Only Yosef was the one that refrained from drinking wine. Continues the Gemara. Va'omer of Malai, another quote from the same Rabbi Malai. In the merit that Hashem testified regarding Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned when Hashem gave him the job to go and redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. He was afraid, I've got an older brother, Aaron HaKohen. He's going to be upset when he feels that I was given the job and not him. Hashem says, I can testify, when Aaron HaKohen is going to see you, he's going to rejoice in his heart, which is a tremendously high madriga. In that merit, Zocho Aaron HaKohen, who was the Kohen Gadol, he merited L'Choshen HaMishpot Aliboy, to wear the Choshen Mishpot, which was the breastplate with the Urim V'Tumim in, and he wore that as a Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan, and he deserved to wear the breastplate on his heart because his heart was so happy for the fact that his younger brother was given the job of saving Klal Yisrael. And now the Gemara continues with a halacha back to Oihel, making a covering on Shabbos. And with that, another few halachas are going to be discussed. Says the Gemara, Sholchu lei b'nei Bashkar lelevi. The people of a place called Bashkar, they sent to Levi the following three questions. Kilo mahu. What's the halacha regarding the canopy we discussed? Is one allowed to cover over and erect this canopy on Shabbos? The second question they asked, Kshusa Bekarmo Mahu. We know the Zalocha, in a kerem, in a vineyard, one is not allowed to plant other vegetables. However, an ilon, a fruit tree, a tree one's allowed to plant there. The question is, Kshusa, this type of vegetation called Kshusa, is one allowed to put it into the vineyard, or is it called Kilaim? Is it considered a vegetable, or is it called a tree? The third question, Mace b'Yom Tov Mahu. If somebody dies on Yom Tov, is one allowed to dig the grave and bury the person on Yom Tov? Ad Ozil, by the time that this shliach that was sent from the people of Bashkar to Levi, by the time they arrived, Noch Nafshei de Levi, Levi passed away. And now they were left with their questions, they needed answers. Oma Shmuel the Rav Menashe. Shmuel said to Rav Menashe, who was obviously in that place where Levi was, Icha kamt shlech lehu. If you, Rav Menashe, are wise and you have the wisdom to answer their questions, send back the answers with this shliach to the people of Bashkar. Answer the questions instead of Levi. Sholach lehu. Rav Menashe, he responded as follows. Kilo, as far as the canopy is concerned, Chazarnu al kol tzidei kilo. We reviewed all the possible considerations and all the sides of the halacha regarding the canopy. V'lo imotzinu lo tzad heter, and we couldn't find any grounds to allow us to set to cover a to put up this sheet on the canopy. Asks the Gemara v'lishlech lohu kederami bar Yecheskel. We saw in a previous Gemara that in the case of Rami Bar Yecheskel, he taught us that there's a certain type of a canopy which one is allowed to spread out on Shabbos, and that's if it was first put up, it was tied to the frame before Shabbos, and it had some straps to it, some cords, that all you have to do is to pull those ropes and open it up on Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. That's what Rami Bar Yecheskel said. So why did Rav Menashe not send back to the people of Bashkar, telling them that in the event that you tie it to the frame before Shabbos and you just want to unravel it on Shabbos, you're allowed to? Why didn't he tell them that? Says the Gemara, Lefi she'einon b'nei Torah. The people of Bashkar, they were not b'nei Torah, and therefore, if we're going to give them a leniency, they will abuse the leniency, they'll extend it to other leniencies, they'll misunderstand the leniency, and therefore he was playing safe, and he said, I'll just tell them it's Osir, because it is Osir in most cases, and that's why he ruled that way. Now, the second question that they had, regarding this Kshusa plant, are you allowed to plant it in the vineyard? So Rav Menashe answered as follows, Kshusa bekarma irvuva. Irvuva means it's called kilayim, it's called a mixture, it's Osir. Asks the Gemara, V'lishlach leikadir of Tarfin. Why didn't he answer back that one is allowed to put this kashusa in the vineyard, like conforming with the opinion of Rav Tarfin? The Tanya we learnt in a brisa, kishus, regarding this vegetable, this vegetation, Rav Tarfin oimer ein kilayim bakerem. Rav Tarfin maintains it's not kilayim, it's not considered a vegetable. The Chachomim oimerim kilayim bakerem. The Chachomim say it is considered a vegetable, and therefore one's not allowed to plant it in a vineyard. The Kaimelon. And the ruling goes that kol ha-mekel ba'oretz halacha k'moisei b'chutz la'oretz. Any mitzvah that's a mitzvah satluyeis ba'oretz, which means it's a mitzvah to do with plantation, in Eretz Yisrael, those halachas, many of them are min ha-Torah. In chutz la'oretz, they're not min ha-Torah, they're only midrabanon. And since it's midrabanon, the halacha is that whenever you have a chumrah and a kula in Eretz Yisrael, you might have to be machmir. But in chutz la'aretz, where it's a drabonon, one can be mekel. These people from Bashkar, they lived in chutz la'aretz. And Rav Tarfin says that this vegetation, this kashusa, is not considered a vegetable, it's considered a tree, and one is allowed to plant it. So why did Rav Menashe not answer back to the people of Bashkar, you're allowed to plant it? Because it's conforming with the Rav Tarfin. Rav Tarfin says even in Eretz Yisrael you're allowed to. We may not rule like him in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz we rule like the Mekel, like the more lenient opinion. Says the Gemara here, too, Lefi She'enon B'nei Torah, since they are not B'nei Torah, therefore Rav Menashe did not want to expose them to any form of leniency whatsoever. Continues the Gemara. Machriz Rav. Rav announced as follows, Hai man de boye le mizra kashusa. Before we come back to the third question, we're just finishing off the topic of this kashusa. Rav says anyone who wants to plant this kashusa bekarma in a vineyard, lizra, he's allowed to plant it. Rav held it was mutter. Rav Amram Chasida, man gedilave. Rav Amram Chasida, he would curse or he would punish with malchus, with lashes, anyone that would plant these kashusa in a vineyard. He held it was mutter. Rav Masharshia, yoiv le pruta le tinoik nochri vizorale. Rav Masharshia, he held that according to the letter of the law, it's mutter. However, people are going to see him planting this kashusa, and they're going to make the wrong conclusions. They're going to think one can plant anything in a vineyard. They're going to make a mistake. Therefore, he wanted to make an distinct difference and make it clear that this is not a regular ruling. So what he did was he paid a coin, a pruta, to a non-Jewish child, and he told that child to print this to plant this kashusa in the vineyard. Asks the Gemara of Litein Le Letinek Yisrael. You want a child to do it? Let a Jewish child do it. Why do you have to give it to a non-Jewish child? Says the Gemara, Osi Le Misrach. If you give it to a Jewish child, he's going to plant kashusa in the vineyard. Then when he becomes an adult, he's going to continue planting things in the vineyard and he's going to come to transgress an Avera. Okay, so you don't want to give it to a Jewish adult because you want to make a shinah, you want to do it different. You don't want to give it to a Jewish child because he may continue doing it when he's an adult. So you want to give it to a goy. So give it to an adult. Why are you giving it to a goyish child? Give it to an adult. Says the Gemara, Osi lichlufe bi Yisrael. If a person sees that an adult, non-Jewish worker is planting, then they might think, okay, he's found this worker, but they're going to get confused and think that one's allowed to do it with a Jewish worker as well, or they'll get confused thinking that he is a Jewish worker, and therefore people will come and make a mistake, and therefore he choose a non-Jewish child, and that way everybody will realize this is not a regular ruling, and nobody will learn from here that you can plant anything they want in a vineyard. And Rashi explains that he was in Chutz La'aretz and he held that according to the letter of the law, the halacha is that it's mutter in Chutz La'aretz to plant the kashusa in the vineyard. Just he didn't want people to get used to being lenient, therefore he did it in this strange way. Continues the Gemara, now we're going back to the third question that the people of Bashkar sent to Levi, but Levi had passed away, and now it was Rav Menashe who's answering. How did he answer the third question regarding burying a person on Yom Tov? Mace, regarding burying on Yontev, Sholach Lei sent them as follows. Ma mace loy is askube lo yehudoin v'lo yarmoin. that on Yom Tov, not a Yid and not a Goy is allowed to dig the grave and be involved in burying a person that passed away on Yom Tov. Loi b'Yom Tov Rishon v'loi b'Yom Tov Sheni. Neither on the first day of Yom Tov, nor on the second day of Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, Eini, is that so? V'Omer Rav Yehuda Bar Shilas, Omer Rav Asi, Uvda Hava b'Beit Knishta de Moin. It happened in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Shul of Moin, b'Yom Tov Asamuch l'Shabbos, and it was Yom Tov that was close to Shabbos, and he says, "V'lo yodano," and I don't remember imilifnei, imilachrei. I don't remember if the Friday was the Yom Tov or the Sunday was the Yom Tov. But either way, it happened in that shul in Moin where there was this person that had passed away. V'asu lekameidu Rabbi Yochanan, and they came to Rabbi Yochanan and said, "What shall we do?" V'omalu Rabbi Yochanan said, "Yis asku be amomin. Let the goyim get involved with the burial and dig the grave and bury him." V'omar Rava. Rava also said, "Meis b'yom tov rishon yis asku bo amomin." If on the first day of Yom Tov somebody passes away and you don't want to wait till there's 2 days Yom Tov and then only after that you're going to bury him, it's inappropriate to leave a dead person not buried for so long. So if he died on the first day, then the goyim can be engaged in the burial. B'Yom Tov Sheni, if on the second day of Yom Tov, which is somewhat more lenient, somebody passes away, then even Yisrael is allowed to bury him. V'afilu B'Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where the second day of Rosh Hashanah has certain stringencies and certain halachas we learn about in Maseches Beitza, that in certain halachas, the second day and the first day is considered one long day. Nonetheless, regarding burial, once on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even a Yisrael is allowed to bury him. On the first day of Yom Tov, there a Goy should bury him. Masha'en Kein B'Beitza. But regarding a beitza, that's what we mentioned, the Maseches Beitza, that if an egg was laid on Rosh Hashanah, even though an egg that's laid on one day of Yom Tov is allowed to be eaten on the other day of Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah that's not the case. If an egg is laid on the first day of Yom Tov, it's not allowed to be eaten even on the second day of Yom Tov, but that's only regarding the egg. But regarding burying this person that passed away, one's allowed to bury him on Yom Tov. And this is contrary to what Rav Menashe answered to the people of Bashkar and told them that no one is allowed to be involved with the burial. Says the Gemara Lefisha Einon B'nai Torah. Because, again, as we saw before, the people of Bashkar were not B'nai Torah, and therefore if one gives them any leniency, they're going to misunderstand it and take it to the wrong places. And therefore, he told them, no one is allowed to be engaged in the burial. And this that we said before, that it wasn't clear if in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, that he allowed the Goy to bury this person. It wasn't clear if Yom Tov was on Friday or on Sunday. So the discussion was, the person died on Yom Tov. If the Yom Tov was on the Friday, then they knew that if they're not going to bury him on Friday, then they're going to have to wait till after Shabbos, because on Shabbos you certainly cannot bury him. And therefore it was 2 days, Rabbi Yochanan said, a Goy can bury him. If Yom Tov was on Sunday, then the question was, this person passed away on Shabbos and they couldn't bury him on Shabbos. If they're not going to bury him on Yom Tov, they're going to have to wait all the way till Monday to bury him. That's too long to wait, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan said that a Goy is allowed to bury him. Continues the Gemara. We started this sugya, the questions that the people of Bashkar sent to Levi regarding the canopy. We're going to continue learning about the canopy. Omer of Ovin bar of Huna, Omer of Choma bar Guria. Misatif odom bekilo, a person is allowed to wrap himself up bekilo with a canopy, ube kasas kaser, with its strings. We know that a canopy typically has straps or strings with which the canopy is tied to the frame. And this person, you only need those straps when you're using the canopy to be draped over a frame. When you're wearing the canopy as a robe, you don't need those straps. The question is, are you allowed to wear it on Shabbos? So we saw here, you're allowed to wrap yourself up with this canopy, even though the strings are there. V'yotze l'rishus harabim b'Shabbos, and you're even allowed to go into rishus harabim. V'einu choshesh, you do not need to be concerned that the strings that you're not using, you don't need them for this, what you're trying to do with it. You're wrapping yourself around, you don't need these straps. It's not considered a burden, it's not considered you're carrying the straps. We have to understand why. Ma'ishno mid Rav Huna, the Gemara asks, why is it different to the case of Rav Huna? The Omer Rav Huna Amarav, Hayoitze betalis she'enei mitzuyeses keilchosa b'shabbos. If somebody has a four-cornered garment and he doesn't have the strings that are halachically attached, the tzitzis, on all four corners, but he has some strings attached to them, is he allowed to go out with such a talis, with such a cloak on Shabbos? So Rav said that chayev chatos, if you go out with this, you're chayev chatos, because you're allowed to go out with the cloak. There's an issue with it. Are you allowed to go out with this cloak without the tzitzis? But as far as Shabbos is concerned, the cloak is not considered a burden. It's considered a garment. That's not called carrying on Shabbos. But regarding the strings are not needed. They're not serving the garment in any way. They're not serving the person in any way. It's called carrying to the extent that it's chayev chatos. So why is that different to the straps of the canopy that you say on mutter? Says the Gemara, tzitzis legabe talis chashivi. Tzitzis relative to the cloak, they are significant. And therefore, lo betali, they are not bottle. They have significance. And since they do not serve the person or the cloak, it's considered a burden. It's considered carrying it. Why is it significant? Number one, because you probably want to add more strings. You want them to be there. Number two, they have the tcheles, which was significant in its own right. The blue strings, the tcheles strings. However, honey, but the strings attached to the canopy, loy chashivi, there's no significance to them whatsoever. Ubeteli, and they're just bottled to the cloak, and it's just as if they're non-existent. We just ignore them. Continues the Gemara. We mentioned in the sugya previously regarding suspending a strainer on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and we said, according to the Chachomim, you're not allowed to suspend the strainer, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. And now the Gemara is going to discuss a case regarding Yom Tov that you are able to suspend a strainer onto the barrel. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Marim Odom Al HaMashameres B'Yom Tov Litleis Borim Moinim. A person can do a type of a scheme, a type of ha'aroma, like, so to speak, and like a loophole, because you're not allowed to put a strainer onto the barrel on Yom Tov, as we saw. It's uvde dechoil, and you're not allowed to do that. However, if you put it on, not in order to be used as a strainer, but you're putting it there just in order to hang pomegranates on it, that's not uvde dechoil, that's not a typical weekday type of work. And on Yom Tov, you're allowed to erect this, you're allowed to put this strainer on the barrel in order to be able to hang pomegranates on it. And once you've put the strainer onto the barrel for the purpose of holding the pomegranates, you're also allowed to strain the wine and put the wine through it, as we saw in the Mishnah, that once the strainer is there on Yom Tov, you're allowed to pour the wine through the strainer. Omer Vashi, v'hu de toleborim moinim. This is true, but on one condition, that before you strain the wine, you actually have to put the pomegranates there. Because otherwise it will be clear, everybody will see, why are you putting the strainer there? You'll have made it clear to everyone that the real truth of why you're putting the strainer there is to strain the wine. And that's osa, it's uvde dechoil. If you first put the pomegranates there, you've made it clear to everyone that you've put the strainer there for the pomegranates. Now the strainer is there, you're allowed to strain the wine with it. Asks the Gemara, Maishno Mehode Tanya, this seems to be different to the case in the Braisa. Matilin Sheikhor Bamoyed Lutzoyre Chamoyed. One is allowed to brew beer on Yom Tov if you need it for the Yom Tov. Sheloy Lutzoyre Chamoyed, if you do not need it on Yom Tov, Osir, then you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. And also, it's an effort, an unnecessary effort on Yom Tov. Echot Sheikhor Tmorim, Echot Sheikhor Soirim, this is true irrespective of whether it's beer of dates or the beer made of barley. Afal Pisha Yeshlem Yoshon, what happens if a person, he has enough beer, he's got in his stock, he's got the beer, but he wants to brew new beer, what's he do? Marim Vashoisa Minachodosh, he can make some new beer and use it on Yom Tov. That means you're not allowed to make beer on Yom Tov if you don't need it on Yom Tov, which means you're not allowed to make beer to be used after Yom Tov. But if you want to use this on Yom Tov, even though you don't really need it because you've got other beer in stock, but you want to save the beer that you had for after Yontav, you can make new beer and drink the new beer on Yontav. So the Gemara is asking over there, it doesn't say that you have to do something beforehand to prove to everybody that you don't have any other beer. Over here, you have to first put the pomegranates onto the strainer before you can strain the wine. Otherwise, people will get the wrong idea. So too here. You've got wine in your stock. You're brewing wine on Yom Tov and drinking it. People will think that you're brewing it unnecessarily. Says the Gemara, yeah, I'll explain to you the difference. Hosom loy muchacha milsa. In that case of the beer, nobody has to know that I've got beer in my stock. People are seeing me brewing the beer and drinking it. That's okay. I cooked it, I made the beer, and I'm using it on Yom Tov. Hocha, but in the case of the strainer, muchacha milsa. If you just pour the wine through the strainer before putting the pomegranates on, everybody will take it for granted. Look, you put the strainer, you suspended the strainer in order to strain the wine. That's uvda d'chol. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. However, once you put the pomegranates there, then you've made it clear to everyone that you've put the strainer there for the pomegranates, and then you can strain the wine through it. I didn't make it clear enough when we started this Gemara, but making this beer, is something which is actually osur on Yom Tov. Moed here, Rashi says, is Chol HaMoed. Even on Chol HaMoed, one is only allowed to do something that is Letzorech HaMoed. You're allowed to prepare this beer on Chol HaMoed if you need to use it either on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov. If you need it for after Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to do it. And that was the discussion here. If you have enough in stock for Yom Tov, but you want to keep the stock for after Yom Tov, you can do a haroma, a type of scheme, and prepare new beer on Chol HaMoed and drink it on Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov, and keep the old stock for after Yom Tov, since nobody knows or nobody has to know that you have the old stock. Therefore, one's allowed to do that. Continues the Gemara. Omru le Rabbonon le Rav Ashi. Chazi mar, see my master. Hai tzurvum rabbonon. There's a tzurvum rabbonon, a young Talmud Chochem. V'Rav Huna bar Rav Chayon Shmei. His name is Rav Huna bar Rav Chayon. V'Omri lo Rav Huna bar Rav Chalvon Shmei. Others say his name was Rav Huna bar Rav Chalvon. De shokal bro de tuma. He took a clove of garlic. Umonach bebarozo de dano, and he put it into the opening of a barrel. He wanted to close up the hole, an opening in the barrel. And what did he do? He took a clove of garlic and he stuck it in. Va'omer, and he said, Latsnui komechavna. My intention was just to hide away this clove of garlic, not to stop up the barrel, because stopping up this barrel was also to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to fix a barrel on Shabbos. So over here he's saying, no, I was looking for a place to store this clove of garlic. And that's also a type of haroma, a type of scheme in a similar context to what we saw in the Gemara before. Continues the Gemara. V'ozil v'noim, that this tzurva merabonon that we're talking about, he went, v'noim b'maboro, he went to sleep on a type of a boat on Shabbos, v'ovar lahach gisa, and whilst he was asleep, the goy that was the captain of this boat, he crossed to the other side of the river, v'sayer peira, and he went there, and this Talmud Chochem was watching his fruits, his fields or his produce he had on the other side of a river. You're not allowed to cross a river on Shabbos. V'omar, but he said, no, I didn't cross the river. Ano lemeinam komechavna. I just went to sleep. I didn't intend to cross the river. I went to sleep on the boat. And then while I was asleep, he took me to the other side, which is again a type of haroma. It's a type of a loophole. Omaluhu. Rav Ashi said, Ha'aroma ka'omras, are you saying that, are you trying to prove from here that, are you trying to suggest that there was something against, something wrong with what this Talmud Chacham did? Are you suggesting that one is not allowed to do a ha'aroma? Well, it's true that it doesn't really feel so right. If something is osa, then you cannot just, you know, make a loophole and pretend you're doing something else. But Rav Ashi explains, no, I'll explain to you how these ha'aromas work. Haroma bidrabononhi. that all these ha'aromis, all these schemes, these loopholes, they were actually all isurim derabbanon, which means that even had he done any of these things without the ha'aroma, he has not transgressed an issa d'oraisa, he's only transgressed an issa d'rabbanon. V'tzurim mirabbanon le'osi le'meved le'katchila, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to use these haromas because he's not at risk of using these leniencies in the wrong way, and therefore the Chachomim allowed the Talmidei Chachomim to do this haroma. But in otherwise, if it's not a Talmud Chacham, then one is not allowed to do these haromas. Rashi adds that one is allowed to do these haromas, but if the public see them, they will misunderstand them and abuse them. And this Talmud Chacham, he's not at risk of using these haromas, these loopholes, in view of the public, and therefore it will not come to be abused and misunderstood. Continues the next Mishnah. Noisnin mayim al gabe shmorim bishvil sheyitzoilu. If a person had the residue, the bits of the wine that had already been strained from before Shabbos, but there's still a little bit of wine that could be strained through, one's allowed to add water to the residue, to the bits on top, in order to allow the little bit of wine that's still lying there to flow down together with the water. One's allowed to do that even on Shabbos, b'shul sheyitzoilu, in order that the bits on top will become completely cleared and all the wine will go down into the barrel. U'masaninin es hayayin, one is allowed to filter the wine, b'sudrin, through clothes, through cloths, or b'chfifa mitzvis, or through a basket made of palm leaves, palm twigs. V'noisnin, another locha, v'noisnin beitza b'masanenes shel chardel, one's allowed to put an egg through a mustard strainer, and we've already seen this in the previous Gemara, and we're going to discuss it more here. Continues the Mishnah, v'oisin inumlin b'shabbos, one is allowed to make inumlin on Shabbos, even though making this is a type of a liquid, takes considerable work, one's allowed to do it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shabbos b'kois, if you're doing it on Shabbos, you're only allowed to make a very little bit of this liquid, as much as you need for a cup. B'yom tov, however, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do even more than that. B'login, you're allowed to do it in a bottle, which is a loig, which is more than a cup. U'b'moyed, b'chovis, but if it's on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to even make a whole barrel full of this animoilin. Reb Tzadok says, it all depends on how many guests you have, the number of guests. If you have a lot of guests, even on Shabbos, you can make a whole barrel full. If you don't have any guests and you only need a cup, then even on Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to make a cup full. Says the Gemara, Omar Ziri, Noisein Odom Yain Tzolul, a person is allowed to put clear wine, Umayim Tzlulin, and clear water, Letoich HaMeshameres B'Shabbos, he's allowed to put it through a wine strainer on Shabbos, V'Ein HaChayshash, he does not need to be concerned of Chilul Shabbos, even though we saw in the Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Ches that straining wine is a melacha, it's either similar to Boira or similar to Merakid, but if the wine is already clear, or the water is already clear, and it could have been drunk as it is without putting it through the strainer, therefore, for all intents and purposes, putting it through the strainer is useless, and you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Aval achurin loy. But if the wine is not clear, then putting it through the strainer is actually is straining the wine, and that's a malacha, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara Meisvei. Reb Shim ben Gamliel Oymer, Toireid Odom Chovius Shel Yayin Yeino Ushmoreo. A person is allowed to stir together a barrel of wine, mixing together the wine with all the bits inside the wine. V'noisin etoicha meshameres b'Shabbos, and then even though it's all mixed up, you're allowed to put it into the strainer on Shabbos. V'ein echoshesh, there's no problem of chilul Shabbos. So you see in this brisa, you're allowed to strain wine on Shabbos. How does that conform with what Ze'iri said, that you're only allowed to strain clear wine, not murky wine? Answers the Gemara, Tirgumot Ze'iri. Ze'iri interpreted this brisa of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel as follows. Bein HaGitois Shonu is talking about the wine that was drunk while they were still working in the wine press. And all the barrels of wine and all the wine, while at that stage, they're all murky, none of the wine is clear, and therefore everybody there was drinking that wine in a non-clear state. And therefore, again, it wasn't necessary to put the wine through the strainer, and therefore putting it through the strainer does not involve Chilul Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Mesaninin es hayayin besudorin, one's allowed to filter the wine through cloths. Omer Rav Simi bar Achia, Rav Simi bar Achia said that there's a disclaimer, there's a condition. Ubilvad shelo yase guma, one's not allowed to make a hollow in the cloth. Typically, during the week, one would make a hollow in the cloth and then pour the wine into the hollow in the cloth. That one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. You just have to pour the wine onto the cloth and then just allow the... By default, when you pour the wine onto the cloth, it will make a dent, it will make a hollow. But you're not allowed to go and make that hollow. And Rashi explains there's two reasons why you're not allowed to make this hollow. Number one, you might come to squeeze the cloth, it's tzeichet. And number two, it's similar to what you do in the weekday, it's uvda dechil. Continues the Gemara. Ubechfifa mitzris. We saw that one's allowed to pour the wine, one's allowed to filter the wine through a basket made of palm twigs. Omer b'chia bar Ashi Omer Rav. It was said in the name of Rav. Ubevad shelo yagbia mikarko isoy shel kli. This is on condition that this basket is not raised above the base of the jug or whatever utensil is going to hold the wine. If this basket through which you're straining and filtering the wine must not be a tefach above the base of the container. Why? Because it's making an oihel. We know that one of the halachas of oihel, of making a covering, making a roofing, is that you have an airspace underneath the roofing of a tefach. If you have this basket of these twigs, of these palm twigs, through which you're pouring the wine, and you have a tefach or more space between the base of this basket and the base of the receptacle, then you have made an oihel, and you're not allowed to make an oihel, and therefore you have to make sure that the basket is very close to the base of the jug that's going to contain and carry and receive the wine. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav, Hai Proinka, which is a type of rag that they would use to cover a barrel. Apalge de Kuba Shori, one's allowed to place it on half of the barrel's opening. Akule Kuba Osur, but it is also to cover the entire barrel with this rag. And here again, the reason is because if you cover the entire barrel, it's as if you're making an oihel, a covering, a roofing, and one's not allowed to make an oihel on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Papa, Lo niadok inish tzinioso bepume de kuzne de chavita. A person is not allowed to put a very tightly packed with straw or wood chips on the mouth of the jug. The jug that they would pour the wine from the barrel, then one's not allowed to put onto the mouth of this jug, you're not allowed to put tightly packed straw or other wood chippings, because it looks like a filter and it looks like that you're straining the wine, and therefore it's awesome. Mishum de merzik mishameres, it appears like a wine strainer. Another halacha, the Beir of Popper, shoafu shichro mimono lemono. In the house of Rev Popper, they would pour the beer very slowly from one vessel to another vessel, in the hope that as you're very slowly pouring off the beer, the bits that you don't want will stay in the first vessel, and only the clear beer will pour into the next vessel. Omale Ravacha Midifti L'Ravina, Ravacha Midifti asked Ravina, Ha'ika Nitzaitis, when you're getting to the end of the pouring, and that's where the bits are level now with the edge of the kli, and at this point there are little bits of dripplings, the little drops that are now being forced to, they're being pulled out of the shmorim, out of the bits, because it's, you're tilting the vessel, you're tilting it very slowly, and the edge of the vessel is holding the solids back, and you're forcing the liquids to pour out of it. Why is that not considered boira? It's considered sorting. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So how could in the house of a papa they pour off the beer, leaving over the solids, the bits they didn't want? Why is that not boira? So all the while that the bits are at the bottom and you're just pouring the liquid off, that's okay. But when you get to the point where now the you can see the solids and the liquid is actually coming out from between the bits of solid, that's boira. That's sorting. It should be awesome. So Ravin answered, "Nitzoytus lebeir of Papa loichas shivi." In the house of Rav Papa, there was no concern. As soon as it came to the last bits, these little drops of beer that were left over in the house of Rav Papa, it was insignificant. They would throw it out completely, together with all the bits. They wouldn't be trying to sift out the drops from between the bits, and therefore there was no concern of boira. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah of a Noisunin Beitza b'Masanenes, one's allowed to put an egg through a mustard strainer. And the Gemara says, Toni Yaakov Korcho explained, Lefisha ein oisin oisa elo legavnin. All they're doing is that they want the yellow part of the egg, which is the softer part, the more fluid part, is going to go through the strainer. And then they're going to be coloring the mustard that's also been sifted through this, that's already in the container. And since the yellow part and the white part, it's all called oichel. When you want to separate the yellow from the white because you don't want the white, that you're not allowed to do. That's boira. You're not allowed to sift or put anything through a sieve on Shabbos. However, over here, for all intents and purposes, you're happy to have both. All you want is to color the mustard with the yellow, so therefore you're allowed to put the egg through this sieve and allow the yellow to fall through. It's not called being boira psoiles from oichel, it's called being boira oichel from oichel, and is allowed. And the Mirat Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.